It is nearly 12 o'clock and time for the KMXT Midday Report. Thank you for listening to KMXT, broadcasting on 100.1 FM. It is your public radio station here in beautiful downtown Kodiak, Alaska, where it is 39 degrees under fair skies. At the airport, they are registering northwest winds at 10 miles per hour. They have 53% humidity and 10 miles of visibility. The Weather Service is advising us to look for sunny skies for the rest of the day, mostly clear skies tonight and mostly sunny skies tomorrow, too. Northwest winds about 15 throughout the period. Highs in the mid-40s. Overnight low tonight about 32. Coming up on the Midday Report, voters in Kodiak elected one of the newest and youngest members ever to its city council. Klukwan residents led a ceremony to honor the Chilkat watershed and the life it sustains. And the board governing Alaska High School Sports voted to ban trans girls from competing on teams that match their gender identities.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. It's day five of air sirens, Hamas rocket fire on Israel, and Israeli airstrikes on Gaza, sending the death toll on both sides of the border surging. More than 2,000 civilian deaths spanning both sides so far, thousands more children, women, and men injured. And the devastation's coming into clear focus today since Hamas militants unleashed a campaign of mass executions of Israeli civilians Saturday. NPR's Daniel Estrin seeing evidence of bloodshed in the Israeli city of Sderot, where he says the police headquarters there is now gone.
This is the scene of a disaster zone, a 24-hour firefight, when Gaza militants came in, took over this police station, killed the Israeli police officers inside. Israeli police then came, surrounded it, and there was a 24-hour firefight here. We spoke to one Israeli resident who said the firefight was incredible, but then the sight of an Israeli tank coming through his streets, he never imagined in his wildest dreams he would see. It came in order to completely eviscerate the police station with all of the militants inside.
That's Daniel Estrin reporting. Israel has declared a full siege against Palestinian Hamas militants in Gaza, where a humanitarian crisis affecting more than 2 million residents is growing. From Tel Aviv, NPR's Aya Bathwawi spoke to NPR's Here and Now about what the siege means for Palestinian civilians.
That means no fuel, no food, no water, no medicine, no electricity entering Gaza. And that is why the main power plant shut down today. And that means hospitals who are treating over 5,000 wounded people.
5,000 treated since Saturday. Secretary of State Antony Blinken's on his way to Israel, show of solidarity with the U.S. ally. He says one of the issues that will be raised is securing the release of Americans who are among the more than 100 people Hamas took hostage. 22 American lives have been lost, and roughly as many Americans are still unaccounted for since the war began. In other news, House Republicans have nominated Majority Leader Steve Scalise to serve as Speaker of the House, narrowly beating out House Judiciary Chairman Jim Jordan. NPR's Deirdre Walsh reports Scalise won the internal GOP vote, but it's unclear if he has the votes to be elected by the full House.
House Majority Leader Steve Scalise says his first priority will be to pass a resolution supporting Israel following the brutal attack by Hamas.
We have a lot of work to do, not just in the House for the people of this country, but we see how dangerous of a world it is and how things can change so quickly.
But in order to get the gavel, Scalise will need 217 votes in the full House. Jordan offered to nominate Scalise on the House floor, but some of his supporters say they aren't prepared to vote for Scalise. Others who back Jordan say it's time for the party to unite and have a functioning House.
That's Deirdre Walsh. It's NPR.
Ang NPR Balita ay hatid sa inyo ng Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. Para sa kaukulang impormasyon tungkol sa aming mga serbisyo, tumawag lamang sa 481-2400.
For KMXT, I'm Terry Haynes. Voters in Kodiak last week elected Annika Woods to be one of Kodiak City Council's newest and youngest members at just 26 years old. It's Woods' first term as an elected official. KMXT's Brian Venois sat down with the council member-elect and has this report.
Annika Woods grew up in Kodiak and is now one of the youngest people to serve as an elected official on the island. She says that's a big reason why she ran.
It's important to have diversity when it comes to not just backgrounds and where people come from, but also schools of thought. And every generation reacts to various things in life differently. And I do think it's important that someone in our generation steps up and gets involved at that higher level.
Woods has previously worked for the city clerk and built a familiarity with the city's functions from that office. She says while she loved the job, she wanted to be more directly involved. Woods left her job at the city's offices in January of this year and decided she wants to keep being in the room where it happens.
And I already had a lot of background knowledge about how the city works internally and just where to go find things. And so I kept thinking, you know, why not me then? And since I already had experience on boards, I thought, you know what, I'll run and I'll see what happens.
Woods has served on the board of directors of the Kodiak Elks Lodge for 6 years. She's also co-founded a new nonprofit that supports recent high school graduates to find education and employment opportunities. That's the Island Grad Project. Woods told voters during last month's candidate forums that she wants to be deeply involved with the city's major infrastructure projects like harbors and help improve transparency with the community. She noted one of her priorities, though, is to update city code.
City code is has been remarked as dated by other municipal employees and people around the state, around the community.
She says she wants to make the process easier for small businesses to have pop-up shops, especially during cruise ship days. Wood says it's important to find a way to encourage local commerce while not blocking sidewalk traffic.
We should be encouraging people to conduct business in the city. I mean, they're collecting sales tax, and that goes into the general fund, and it's just kind of a win-win for everybody.
The councilwoman-elect says projects like that could help revitalize downtown, and she's excited to keep bringing ideas to the city council during her 3-year term. Woods will be sworn in, and election results will be certified at the city council meeting later this week. In Kodiak, I'm Brian Benoit.
The board governing all Alaska high school sports voted on Monday to ban trans girls from competing on high school sports teams that match their gender identity. The Alaska School Activities Association Board of Directors voted 5-3 to limit participation in girls' sports to athletes who are, quote, assigned female at birth, close quote. ASAA Executive Director Billy Strickland says that he only knows of one instance of a trans girl competing in Alaska State Championships against other girls.
It hasn't been an issue in our state championships. From a safety standpoint, we haven't seen that yet. From a competitive standpoint, you could make the argument that, you know, the student displaced other kids off the podium.
ASAA's board originally considered the move in May, but waited until the Board of Education unanimously voted to ban trans girls from girls' sports in August before changing their bylaws on Monday. The bylaw change takes effect immediately.
The reason that I strongly recommended to my board of directors to amend our bylaws is we feel like if we could not or did not do so, then public schools would not be able to join ASAA or any other association unless that association made the, you know, put into place what we just adopted. So we don't want to see sports come to a scratching halt while this probably works its way through the court system.
Currently, 19 states have active bans on trans girls from competing with other girls, and 4 other states have similar measures being challenged in court. The Matanuskas Susitna Borough School District banned trans girls from competing in girls' sports in 2022 and had been the only district in Alaska that prohibited trans girls from competing on teams that matched their gender identity until Monday. Last Thursday, Klukwan residents led a ceremony to honor the Chilkat watershed and the life it sustains in the valley. They invited the broader community to participate, and as KHNS's Alan DeFremenil reports, a large number of people came.
Under a steady rain, organizers set up shelters and start a fire by the bridge over the Klehini River, 26 miles from Haines. They hold hands and listen to Lonnie Hotch tell the story of how Raven brought fresh water to the world. And they hope for a good turnout. The event is a water blessing ceremony hosted by residents of Klukwan. Hotch is an organizer.
We have very deep roots here, and we feel a keen sense of responsibility to protect the river for future generations who will live here, and not just humans. I mean, the eagles are our neighbors, the bears are our neighbors, the wolves.
Hotch says she sees eagles pick salmon out of the river, sometimes out of her own fishing net. She says she often finds the remnants of those fish at the bottom of a tree. The carcasses decompose into the soil and feed the trees, keeping the forest alive. Hotch says this healthy interconnection is threatened by the Palmer Project, a large hard rock mine that is being planned upstream from her village.
We don't want the mine. We don't need the mine. Extraction economies, they're destructive. It's not something we should build our hopes on. It doesn't pay off in the long run. These salmon have supported our people for countless generations.
Around noon, people start to trickle in, building up to a crowd of over 150 people. Singing starts. Organizer Nancy Keene leads children in songs and activities.
We place a message onto a piece of wood, a prayer to the water, Klehini River, and just say a prayer and give it back to the water.
Finally, the crowd moves towards the bridge.
Yo, hey, yo, hey.
Signs that say, "Nurture our wild river. We are all in this together. Protect the Klehini. Our rhythms are connected and irreplaceable. No to the Palmer Project. Keep the river clean." They stop in the middle of the bridge and wait for Lonnie Hotch to speak. She is wearing the Chilkat River robe. In it, she has woven symbols representing the five species of salmon that return to spawn in the watershed. Hotch begins the ceremony.
Father God, Ha'ish, Ha'shekenya, our creator, Dekinak Yegi, ever-present spirit, Ha'itinak Yakyati, Yagiyi, we need your help today. Our river, we want to protect it. We want it to flow in good health, in perpetuity, forever.
Participants cast their pieces of wood and their blessings into the river. Tribal President Kimberly Strong speaks.
I think that we've never come out and said we're in opposition to the mine. What I am afraid of is this hard rock acid mine and what it will do to us.
The crowd then slowly walks off the bridge. Daniel Connaught is a resident of Klukwan. He was at the event.
I'm here today to stand with everybody else on protecting the water. We need to protect the water to protect our salmon, because salmon is a way of life in this valley.
Resident Jack Strong agrees.
I live in Klukwan. This is our life. It always has been our life for thousands of years. And I can't see why we would want to change anything. For what? What is the gain for the world to take and ruin this? Nothing. Nothing.
Tribal President Kimberly Strong is humble when speaking of her presence at the event.
I'm not the person that developed this event. I am here because as a community leader, you follow your people. And so I'm here following my people who want to protect the environment and our river and our way of life.
An international tribunal has recently accepted to hear a case brought by a coalition of Southeast Alaska Native groups. They claim upstream pollution from Canadian mines violates their right to life, health, well-being, and the benefit of culture. Nancy Keene sees this regional organizing as positive.
We are going to be at the table and speak to these things that we know we have a right to speak to, the inherent right to our traditional foods, the way that we're going to take care of our world in a good way.
Lonnie Hodge concurs.
Why is it okay to dump toxic waste? Is it because our people don't count? What's up with that? We need social justice for all people. We're not going to sit back and be quiet about it. This is our life. This is our way of life. This is our home.
Representatives for Constantine Metals, who owns the Palmer Project, did not respond to a request for comments on their relationship with the Chilkat Indian Village. For KHNS, I'm Alan DePremenil.
The Presbyterian Church has committed to paying nearly $1 million in reparations to Juneau's Alaska Native community, more than 60 years after the closure of Reverend Walter Sobolev's church. This weekend, they began to fulfill that commitment by donating $100,000 to language revitalization programs. KTOO's Katie Anastas has the story.
Dozens of kids stream into Elizabeth Paradovich Hall singing in Tsingit. Most of them wear red and black regalia dotted with mother-of-pearl buttons. One wears a Chilkat robe with yellow, black, and blue form line designs. First Alaskans Institute President and CEO Lagunai Liz Medicine Crow says it's the start of a monumental day.
While we celebrate Indigenous Peoples Day, we can also celebrate the magnitude of this moment.
Monday concluded 3 days of events meant to acknowledge the 1962 closure of Memorial Presbyterian Church, which was once located where the Juneau Fire Hall now stands. For decades, the church served a primarily Alaska Native congregation. Reverend Walter Sobolev became the church's pastor in 1940, preaching in both Tsingit and English. But in 1962, the Presbyterian Church closed Sobolev's church and loaned money to a non-Native congregation to build a new one. At the time, they cited a new policy to end segregated churches. But for Alaska Native people, Medicine Crow says, the closure meant the loss of a community hub.
These are not theoretical harms. These are real harms. These are physical, spiritual, emotional, financial harms that our community endured.
On Sunday, church leaders delivered a long-awaited apology. Reverend Bronwyn Boswell leads the U.S. denomination of the Presbyterian Church. She spoke at Kuneahiri Northern Light United Church, just a few blocks away from where Memorial Presbyterian Church once stood.
The Presbyterian Church USA apologizes for the act of spiritual abuse committed by the Presbyterian Church's decision of closure.
The apology comes after years of advocacy by a group of Alaska Native Church members. 2 years ago, the church's Native Ministries Committee came up with a list of actions and monetary contributions that could make up an apology. Some have already happened. For example, Northern Light United Church added Kuneahiri to its name, which means People's House of Healing in Tsingit. They've also committed to funding scholarship programs, incorporating Tsingit language into church services, and adding Alaska Native art and architecture to the building. Frida Westman is a member of the Native Ministries Committee.
What I'm excited about is bringing in younger people and children with the language, with the cultural practices, and seeing how those can be woven together in order to celebrate within the church setting our culture.
At Monday's event, national church leaders gave $100,000 to Sea Alaska Heritage Institute to support language revitalization efforts. The local church gave Tsingit and Haida more than $4,000 for the tribe's cultural programs. Future payments will support other educational opportunities and tribal programs. Tlingit and Haida President Chahya Ish Richard Peterson says it's important to acknowledge the role churches have played in colonization and language loss throughout Alaska.
I hope that the churches really do step up and take their role in the healing as they took the role in the damage.
There's also a new sign outside the Juneau Fire Hall. It describes the closure of Sobolov's church and the Presbyterian Church's commitment to reparations. In Juneau, I'm Katie Anastas.
A hunter died in Kodiak over the weekend, according to a press release from the Alaska State Troopers. Douglas Morris, a man from Sterling on the Kenai Peninsula, collapsed while out and died of natural causes. Troopers said in the release that no foul play is suspected. Officers received an emergency message from his hunting partner's GPS, a Garmin inReach. Morris's remains were flown out by helicopter. His next of kin has been notified.
Today's KMXT local news is brought to you in part by Discover Kodiak, a one-stop source for visitor information on Kodiak and other destinations around the state. On the web at kodiak.org and at the Visitor Center in the Ferry Terminal Building at 100 Marine Way, 486-4782.
The Kodiak Arts Council welcomes rising four-piece Latinx fusion band Cuarteto Nuevo on their first tour to Alaska. Cuarteto Nuevo merges Western classical with Eastern European folk, Latin, and jazz with an organic feel that packs a wallop and engages audiences of all ages. The performance will be on Saturday, October 14th at 7:30 p.m. at the Gerald C. Wilson Auditorium. The Cuarteto Nuevo program was made possible with funding by the Rasmussen Foundation through the Harper Arts Touring Fund and is administered by the Alaska State Council of the Arts. More information and tickets are available at www.kodiakarts.org and at the box office an hour before the show.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Good afternoon and welcome to your Island Messenger for Wednesday. It is the 11th day of October of the year 2023. The sun rose today at 8:35. It will set again at 7:15. That will give us 10 hours and 40 minutes of daylight, a loss of 4 minutes and 54 seconds compared to yesterday. A record high for this date was 62 degrees, set in 1983, and a record low was 20, set in 1924. Currently a chilly feeling, 39 degrees. What a beautiful day, though. Fair skies, northwest winds to 10 miles per hour out at the airport, where they also have 10 miles of visibility, and they're down to 53% humidity. Look for sunny skies for the rest of the afternoon, mostly clear skies tonight, and mostly sunny skies tomorrow. High near 45 for today and tomorrow. Northwest winds to 15 throughout the period, and an overnight low of about 32. On Thursday night, look for partly cloudy skies, low of 32, west winds to 10. And for Friday, a few showers after 5 p.m., mostly cloudy for Friday, south winds to 10, increasing to 20. And for Saturday, run the rock day, just a few scattered showers before 11 a.m., slight chance of rain after that, with mostly cloudy skies and a high near 48. Sounds like excellent running weather. Chance of precipitation, maybe 40%. Looking at our local tides, we have a high tide coming up. That will happen at 1:18 this afternoon here on the east side. And that tide will be 7.6 feet. Over on the west side, your high tide will happen at 1:46 p.m. and be 12.8 feet in Larson Bay. Mariners, here is your weather forecast for Marmot Island to Sitkanat, Kodiak's east side out to 15 miles offshore. Northwest 15 and seas to 4 feet today. Northwest 20 tonight with seas to 5 feet. And for tomorrow, west variable 10, except northwest 20 north of Dangerous Cape with 4-foot seas. They are calling for southeast 25 on Friday with 10-foot seas. Over in the Chillicothe Strait, small craft advisory today with northwest winds to 25 knots and seas to 5 feet. Northwest 20 tonight with 5-foot seas subsiding to 3 feet after midnight. And for tomorrow in the Chillicothe, north 15, seas to 3 feet. Variable 10 tomorrow night with 3-foot seas. For Friday in the Chillicothe, look for east winds to 25 knots and seas to 6 feet. Well, procrastinators, there's still time to register for the 17th annual Run the Rock. Register online at kmxt.org for a 5K, 10K, half marathon, or a marathon race. Then join us at the Bear Valley Golf Course on Saturday for the races. There will be door prizes, a post-race barbecue, and registration includes the coveted Run the Rock t-shirt. Senior citizens of Kodiak is once again in need of paper bags. Please make sure they're not torn or soiled, and you can drop them off between 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Monday through Friday at the Senior Center. And today is the day for Elders Afternoon Game Time at the Kodiak Public Library. That's happening from 2:30 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. It's a time for food, fun, and friends. Transportation is available for beneficiaries. Call 907-486-7352 to schedule a ride. Otherwise, it's just starting at 2:30 this afternoon at the Kodiak Public Library, Elders Afternoon Game Time. A Gather and Grow six-week course is being offered beginning tomorrow. Learn how to build stronger connections with the people you care about and with yourself in this free six-week course. It's happening Thursdays, starting tomorrow, from 5:30 to 7 p.m. at the Kodiak Island Housing Authority Family Center, which is at 2815 Woody Way. Not only is it a great opportunity to gather and grow, but childcare, supplies, and dinner are all provided. If you have any questions, contact Ellamy Tiller at 907-486-6171. Meetings coming up in the Kodiak Island Borough include today's meeting of the Planning and Zoning Commission. They will be having a work session in the Borough Conference Room at 6:30 p.m. Tomorrow, the Assembly will be having a work session in the Borough Assembly Chambers. That's happening at 6:30 p.m. And next Tuesday, the Joint Building Code Review Committee will be having their regular meeting in the Borough Conference Room at 3 p.m. All meetings are open to the public, and meeting packets are available on the Kodiak Island Borough's website. Contact the Borough Clerk with any questions at 907-486-9310. And on Friday, you can join Quarteto Nuevo and the Kodiak Arts Council at 4 p.m. for their community outreach music from around the world plus body percussion workshop. Sounds like a ton of fun. Get a chance to meet the rising artists, Quarteto Nuevo themselves, and explore the influence of music traditions from around the globe on jazz, classical chamber, and world music, alongside a body percussion interactive demonstration that brings samba to life. The event is completely free. It will be held in the Gerald C. Wilson Auditorium's band room. It's open for all ages. And again, that's Friday at 4 p.m. in the band room at the Gerald C. Wilson. For more information, go to the Kodiak Arts Council's website at www.kodiakarts.org. Things happening at the library include today's Lego Club at 3:30 p.m. Children under 10 must be accompanied by an adult. On Thursdays, don't forget, 10:30 a.m. is preschool story time. That's for children ages 3 to 6. And on Friday at 3:30 p.m., Kodiak Hearts. They're having a costume swap. If you need a costume for Halloween, bring in your old costume and you can swap it for a new one. It's for patrons kindergarten through 8th grade. Again, that's Friday at 3:30 p.m., their big costume swap. On Saturday, the Pokemon Club meets. That happens at 1 p.m. on Saturday. Please bring your own card sets. Alternative crafts will be provided for younger children, and it's for patrons age grades 1st through 8th. And the AAUW Holiday Bazaar will be on Saturday, November 18th this year. That's happening 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Kodiak High School gym. If you are interested in having a booth, please contact Kathy. Give her a call at 907-942-3757.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT three times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m., during the Midday Report at 12:20, and in the evening at 7 o'clock. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.